And welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. This is Ted Brewer, my co-host Austin Brewer, and sorry about the microphone scratching the sound last night. I wasn't thinking about it. I wore a collared shirt and my mic was grabbing it, so I won't let that happen again. So it's good to have you on with me again, Austin. Your mom and I had a fun time last night. I just have to be careful when I start talking about certain things. I get really fired up and get kind of mad about it. Last night I got a little bit irritated and I'm not going to go into it again because it'll trigger me again. I don't want it to get triggered. I started talking about the Pope saying that Donald Trump wasn't a Christian. And it really, really irritated me, son. I really did not want to get in that state again today. So I kind of got upset about that. Proverbs is our verse today. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. But he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. I want people to realize that we need to be supporting the poor. We need supporting our local churches. We need to be doing everything we possibly can to bring honor and glory to God in all that we do, in all that we think, in all that we say. Now, I've got to talk to you guys about some stuff today before we start on the news, because there's so much news today. You can ask Austin. We literally aren't going to get through. We'll probably get into tomorrow. But what happened to me this weekend was interesting. We had a baby shower for Austin's wife, and then during the baby shower, after the baby shower, actually, a husband and a wife couple came in and they started talking to me. And the husband and wife were concerned because several of their friends had confessed to them, apparently, that they were having some issues with pornography. Now, I'm only going to talk about this for a minute because this is such a horrible topic that I really don't want to go into detail with all of this stuff because it's so controlling with what they've done to us in the United States. Back in the 1800s, from the University of Leipzig, the Skinner people brought over operating classical conditioning to the United States. And when they did that, they basically were taught how to train us like animals. And they taught reward, response, stimulus. Austin has a degree in psychology. I have a degree in psychology. And so it's interesting how you can actually program people to give you certain responses. Skinner made this famous when he would have a dog in which he would feed the dog and ring a bell, feed the dog and ring the bell, feed the dog and ring the bell. Now, as soon as the dog would see food, he would start salivating. And he did this over and over and over again. Every time he would bring the food, he would ring the bell. Soon, he could just bring the bell and ring it with no food, and the dog would start salivating. That's just typical classical conditioning. Now, that's what they taught them to do in the educational systems when B.F. Skinner brought this stuff over to the United States. That's when we were put on a punishment-reward continuum, and they decided to go ahead and train all of us starting back in the 1800s. This entire protocol is just hellish is what it is, and it was brought to us through Skull and Bones into the United States. I've talked about it in detail before on the Hagman Show, giving you the full history of it. I'm not going to do that today. Now, what this has allowed them to do is to do what's called beta testing, and they find out what triggers you and what doesn't trigger you. They've done it with newspaper. They've done it with radio. They've done it with TV very, very effectively. In fact, many people now in the psychology profession feel that when they read War of the Worlds from H.G. Wells back in the 30s or the 40s, I forgot which decade it was in, and they read it like a live docudrama as if it were a news story, and millions of people panicked in the United States thinking that we were having an alien invasion from Mars. Now, that was interesting, but that was a giant beta test to see how powerful the media would be if people really thought that we had invaders coming from another planet. Now, they've continued to do this through their Tavistock conditioning and programming, and that's why they'll push a little bit, they'll release a story about how Jade Helm is going to be to take over the United States, and then they get this big blowback on the internet. Their supercomputers and their AI analyzes all of that data, and it figures out a better way to manipulate it. The same thing was done with Ebola. The same thing is being done with all of these different types of conditions that are out there, like the microencephaly. And they want to see how much they can push us so they can continue to program us, so they'll know exactly what our triggers are as far as getting us to do certain types of behavior. This is what they do. They do it all of the time. Back through the CIA Mind Control MK Ultra program, Hugh Hefner was basically brought in through the Playboy years back in the 50s, and he was basically going in and bringing in and deciding to completely corrupt the minds of the youth and of the men of this country using pornography. And he was able to do that very effectively with his magazine Playboy. and his first magazine course cover girl was going to be Marilyn Monroe. You know, every guy's fantasy from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and many people believe that she was an MK Ultra girl and that she was programmed, and that's one of the reasons she was so effective at doing what she was doing, and also why she received so much popularity and why she was so pushed onto the entire population, especially the men. Now, they know what they're doing all the way back to Marilyn Monroe. They continue to test us, beta test, all the way through. Until now, they know how to trigger men and trigger women. The entire group of people, you got the Jesuits, you got the Catholic Church, you got the Rothschilds, you got the Bank of England, you got the Rockefellers. They've done this from all angles to try to get the best way to manipulate the masses to give us bread and circuses. The pornography was pushed on us to destroy the culture and to destroy the culture for men and women and to help promote homosexuality and all of the crazy stuff that people do everywhere they do it, with this stuff with the porn. In fact, if you remember back in the New Testament, Paul kept telling the folks throughout the New Testament to stop going to orgies, avoid orgies. And you go, what the heck were they avoiding orgies for? Nobody has orgies. Yes, there are orgies in the United States right now. Yes, that happens on a regular basis. Stanley Kubrick tried to tell us all this with Eyes Wide Shut. That's why he did that movie. If you're going to watch that movie, I suggest you watch it on TV where it's been edited so it's not as filthy, because it's just excessive nudity in it. Now, what's interesting about this is they know exactly what triggers a man and exactly what triggers a woman to look at certain ads on the internet. The Google search engine, the CIA, all of these things are completely interlocked. I mean, Google, the CIA, Singularity University, NASA, they're all on the same street out there in California where they have Silicon Valley. Now, they do all of this on purpose because they're trying to treat us as if we're animals. And I have to say, I saw a video of a gas station, pretty much huge brawl. Austin saw it too. And when you see videos like that, this was in Ferguson, Missouri, you pretty much think that people really do act like animals sometimes, which is absolutely ridiculous. It got to the point they were fighting. Some woman jumps in the fight. She's wearing a muumuu. The muumuu gets pulled off halfway down her body. Her breasts are hanging out. She keeps fighting and kicking and beating these people. Finally, her whole muumuu falls off, and she's walking around butt naked. Am I telling the truth, Austin?
In the middle of a gas station.
In the middle of a gas station, okay? So if you're going to act like a heathen, you might as well be a heathen, right? So you guys think I'm joking, but I'm not, okay? I just, whatever. Just some sick stuff. But the point is this. You know, we have been programmed to act a certain way now by our culture, and the bankers have done the same thing. And they're, because all the stuff's interconnected through this giant pyramid that we call the New World Order, the all-seeing eye, you know, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it. It's just what it is. It's all these different groups working together to program us. Now, what they do is they trigger you men who are, listen to me, they treat you like you're an animal. They treat you like you're an animal. They trigger you with certain things that you see on the internet, and they trigger women with certain things they see on the internet. Now, I'm going to say a few things now that may offend some of the women and offend some of the men. Please forgive me, not my intention. But here's what you've got to realize. Pornography has never been good for your marriage, and I'm not apologizing for that. I don't care if that offends you or not. I'm just telling you this is the truth. But women, you have to realize that your husband has certain needs. Because of the prostate gland, because of the sex that he has to have in order to help prevent prostate cancer. He has to have sex, if he's healthy, if he's capable of it, 2 to 3 times a week up until the time when he can no longer have sex, if he wants to have a healthy life, healthy prostate, everything else. A lot of women, after they get past childbearing ages, they figure, what difference does it make? I don't need sex anymore. I'm not trying to have any kids anymore. I no longer have a sex drive. Who cares? Who cares? Whatever. Well, this creates a problem for a Christian man. He has a tendency at that point in time not to know what to do. So he ends up looking at porn. Okay? With some women, they also look at porn. And then the marriage just kind of splits apart. I know one Christian female preacher who I will not mention, who said in one of her sermons, and she's been divorced multiple times, that it's good for a husband and wife to look at pornography together. That is a lie from hell. It is abominable. It is not good. It is not okay. Christians are not to have anything to do with the darkness with stuff like this. It's just nauseating. You shouldn't be involved in this. So when the couple came and they started talking to me about this and this big problem with Christian men in churches doing this and Christian wives doing this, my response was this. If the husband and the wife takes care of each other from a physical standpoint, the entire marriage this is going to really be reduced, period. That's what's going to happen. Number two, the man has to realize and the woman has to realize that they're not animals. And they're not going to be allowed to be treated like a Pavlovian dog and start drooling when they see something. Now, I'm going to read you something that I did on the Hagmann Show last summer, which has gone viral with like 3 million views. It's the stuff I did on Nogales. It was on how we're being socially engineered. But I'm going to read you this from my notes from then. And one of these days I'll cover this whole set of notes again with you on the show. We've been socially engineered to consume goods through slick marketing and propaganda and the use of sex in marketing, particularly in men, who in many cases may still control family finances. What happens in the male brain is different than that of a female brain. When a woman sees a handsome man, she thinks nice looking guy. This is in case, but now she doesn't think this if she's been programmed by pornography. If she's allowed herself to be conditioned by porn, she'll start lusting after the man. So make sure, ladies, remember, you weren't wired this way, but you could hardwire your own brain to start seeing it like this, and you've got to stop that. I've met women before who are as big as sexual predators as men are. And all I do is steer away from them, won't talk to them, won't give them eye contact, because I can feel in my spirit that they're sexual predators. They're bad, bad news. And the guys who are like that way are bad news too. When a man sees a provocatively dressed woman, it activates a portion of his brain known as the nucleus accumbens. This is the same activation that occurs when a man is starving and sees food on the table across the room. So paint the picture. A guy hasn't eaten for 2 or 3 weeks. He's literally starving to death. All he's had is water. He has to eat or he's going to die. This is the exact same thing that happens with the nucleus accumbens when a man sees porn or a provocatively dressed woman. I'm going to read it again. When a man sees a provocatively dressed woman, it activates a portion of the brain known as the nucleus accumbens. This is the same activation that occurs when a man is starving and sees food on a table across the room. He sees the woman and the nucleus accumbens tightens up, and he has an instantaneous, involuntary desire to consume that image. It's not necessarily the person he wants to consume, but the image. This is why so much sexual advertising is aimed at men. This is why porn is so damaging to the family. It stops sex between husband and wife, therefore is being used by the globalists as a form of birth control. That's why they're doing this. This is another reason porn was introduced, population control. Some men, after they've looked at porn repeatedly, simply don't want real women anymore, just porn. And when that happens, there's not going to be any children. This is why we need to get it off the internet. George W. Bush, who is a Satanist, who goes to Bohemian Grove, he is not a Christian, okay? He had the opportunity back in the early 2000s to get porn off the internet and said he was going to do it. He didn't even try. They don't want it off the internet because what it does to destroy the culture and the society. Russia won't allow it on the internet. By the way, Russia is also encouraging people to have babies. They're blocking GMO. They want organic food. They don't want any gay rights. And the media has conditioned both men and women to become rabid consumers. It seems like every year people are hurt in stampedes that have become Black Friday. Not investing time or money in children anymore. We have become a self-centered and we have regulated children to secondary status. The state and the school will raise them. Now, I wanted to share that with you this morning because a lot of kids are being exposed to porn and we're allowing that to happen. We have to tell the kids and we have to have a frank discussion with them about the dangers of pornography, about what it does to the brain, how it releases dopamine through the pleasure centers, and how addictive it is. It's so important that they understand that. Men, women, if your spouse wants to have sex, don't deny them that. Men, women, take care of yourselves. If you need to lose some weight, lose some weight. If you don't feel as though you're attractive anymore when you don't have your clothes on, get attractive. Go on a diet. Start exercising. Find a way to make that marriage work. Another person we have that are dear friends of ours, we just found out now that he's been running around on his wife. And they're out of Chicago. And now they're getting divorced. They've been married for over 30 years with 2 children. Just found that out this weekend at the baby shower. And so what's interesting to me is this. You have to ask yourself why. It always takes two people to tangle in a situation like this. In 99.99% of the cases, the wife doesn't take care of herself. The wife denies the husband sex. The husband's not a Christian. The husband decides he's going to have sex. Or vice versa, it can be the woman doing the same thing. I felt it was necessary to discuss this with you guys in detail today because I want you to know how important this is. This has been used by the globalists to destroy us in the very fabric of society and the family. It's continuing to be used, and you can't allow yourself to be an animal. Now, some scientists and some physicists say that the interdimensional beings, the angels and the demons and all these different things that are evolved around us that we can't see, that the Bible talks about, so don't get all goofy with me here, that they're being fed from photonic energy from this constant onslaught of porn. Now, that may be true. I don't know. I can't see into those dimensions. But just look at it this way. You know, we're not alone. God's watching everything that's going on, and these demons apparently are watching things that are going on. And think about what you're doing and who you're feeding and who you're doing this for. It's not something that anybody should be proud of. It should be something that we all should not be doing, and it's something that we need to all realize is a major problem, and we have been conditioned to be this way. It has taken 50, 60 years now with the Playboy magazines and all the filth on TV, but that wasn't enough for these globalists. Not only did they want men to look at porn, they want men to look at other men, and they want women to look at other women, and they want children to be attracted to Miley Cyrus when she was Hannah Montana so they can carry the filthy stuff with her masturbating on stage so all the girls can see her doing this. This is the entire goal of the globalists, is to attack the family structure, to destroy the nuclear family, to bring us back into a feudal system. They've already started doing that with the student loans, and to bring us back into a slave state. It's being done through the Vatican, through the Rothschild banking cartel, through the Bank of England, through the Rockefeller Foundations, and all of the interlocking corporate directorships that control the media. That's what's happening right now. Austin, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well said, bud. I'm really glad you brought that up, because you and I both know we've been hearing about that more and more lately, as far as with relationships getting split up due to cheating and more issues going on as far as with porn and a lot of different families. And you're absolutely correct on that, is that is the overall goal. Because if you take two individuals that are married and you both put them in different directions and they're both feeding their own desires on their own, then they're not going to have that desire to continue on with the family and build, you know, further family with children and continue that relationship. And that's exactly what's going on now.
Well, it's true. And so what we have to understand is this. I mean, you're married, Austin. See, when you have a good marriage, and you guys are, God, we thank you so much for all the emails about Sharon being on the air with you. And yes, our marriage really is that good. I mean, she's my hero as far as I'm concerned. I would never look at another woman because I have this incredible wife, and she feels the same way about me, but we work on that. It's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. She knows that if I make a decision in the household, which I very rarely ever do as far as overriding her, she doesn't say one word. She just lets me make the decision. And it's primarily over investments or money or other things like that. But I've pretty much let her do whatever she wants, because I consider her happiness and her joy and what she wants to do more important than what I consider my own stuff to be. So I give her 100%, but she feels the same way towards me. So she gives me 100% back. And what ends up happening is we have this really good marriage, and we've been together now for 33 years. And as you know, I've been married before, and I've been very candid with you guys. And it was back, I was only married for a couple of years, and that was not the relationship that I had. I gave 100%, the other person took 100%, and it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And I simply couldn't deal with it. And I had scriptural grounds for a divorce, and so I have one. So here's the point that I'm trying to say, and with all of this, I've gone through the ups and the downs of all of this. I felt the pain and the anxiety and the anguish from this. And I know a lot of you right now are hurting. And I know that your marriage is in trouble. And I know your relationship's in trouble. And you probably haven't had sex in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I don't know. But ask yourself a question, ladies. If you're not available for your husband to do this, what's he supposed to do? And men, if you're not available for your wife, what's she supposed to do? This is not what we were called to do. We were called to be one, in unity with one another, to have a good marriage and to bring honor and glory to God. So serve each other as you would serve yourself. Make sure that you know that you're allowing each other the same the same love that you have that's going to reciprocate. If you maintain that type of relationship and you love one another, all of this stuff won't be going on. But I'm seeing more and more and more of my friends that have been married for so many years getting divorced, and so much of it is porn related. And I had to bring this out to you guys because it's one of those things that's a major problem. And don't think your teenagers, if you've given them an iPhone or they're 10, 12 years old, you better have some serious restrictions on that iPhone or they're going to be looking at this stuff. But also remember, they've got other friends. If you let them run around wild and don't take care of them and don't maintain responsibility for them, whose phones may not have blocks on them. And when they get a chance, these kids look at this stuff because to them it's a curiosity. And so do your best to avoid letting them see it, but also you need to have this talk with them and make them realize that they're not animals and they don't have to be treated that way, because all it's going to do is make them feel filthy if they do it, and it's going to cause all types of problems in your house and in your relationships and your family at home. Let me give you a new story. Let's get off this topic. I can't take this anymore. Roundup. This is from Sustainable Pulse. Roundup has been linked to global boom in celiac disease and gluten intolerance. I've told you guys this, and I'm going to read you some stuff on it. Celiac disease, gluten intolerance, and irritable bowel syndrome are on the rise worldwide. And that rise has taken place in parallel with the increased use of glyphosate Roundup herbicides, shows a new U.S. peer-reviewed paper from Dr. Anthony Sansel and Dr. Stephanie Sneneff. The review was published in the Journal of Interdisciplinary Technology. Roundup is linked in Sansel and Sneneff's new review paper as a major to a major increase in celiac disease. A recent estimate suggests that 1 in 20 people in North America and Western Europe now suffer from this gluten-intolerant disease. All of the known biological effects of glyphosate, cytochrome P450 inhibition, disruption of synthesis of aromatic amino acids, chelation of transition metals, and antibacterial action contribute to the pathology of celiac disease, Sansel and Sneneff paper states. Now, you guys can read the rest of that if you'd like, but I'm here to tell you guys, you've got to start eating organic. It's not the wheat that's bad. It's the poison they spray on the wheat. Yep. They spray wheat. There's like 10 or 12 different crops that they soak down with Roundup, including sugar beets, the red beets that you eat if you don't buy those organic. The other day, we were at a restaurant here in Auburndale, and it's a tea room. I try to take Sharon to it once a week. It's about all I can stomach going to a tea room. But I do that for her. You guys want to know that. But they brought a beet salad out, and it wasn't organic. And I immediately said, I won't have this. And they said, why? I said, because it's been sprayed with glyphosate. I'm not going to eat this. I said, bring me something that's at least underground, that I don't have to have stuff sprayed on top of it that doesn't have a bunch of stuff sprayed on the leaves, because it goes right into the roots. So, and I know beets are underground too, but I just didn't want to deal with that, because I know how bad the beets are as far as they're spraying. Always eat organic. And remember, if they've sprayed it on the wheat a week before it's been harvested, they do that to use it as a desiccant to dry the crop and to force the kernel to sprout out. And when they do that, it increases their crop yields. Almost every crop is being sprayed now with glyphosate. The use of glyphosate in the United States needs to be completely banned, as well as the use of any herbicides that are being used before harvest. This stuff is so poisonous, guys. It's the primary cause of celiac disease, and I've told you that stuff over and over and over. In fact, Austin, I'm going to send you this link, and I want you to go ahead and post this on our website, please, and we'll send it out as one of our emails as we got, so you guys can read this entire link. What's your first story, Oz?
Well, first all I wanted to address is on black seed oil. We've discussed it numerous times, but I have been getting a substantial amount of emails lately asking about black seed oil and different things that it's good for. And black seed oil, it's made from the seeds of what's called the Nigella sativa or black cumin. It's actually been used for a very long time. It was an old ancient remedy that's been shown repeatedly to help out with the immune system and reduce inflammation. And a couple studies I pulled up on in here. In 2001, a study led by the Chinese and Saudi Arabian researchers found that the oil was safe and an effective cancer treatment that can be used successfully for centuries. Now, again, I'm not advocating anything for cancer. I'm saying this is what the research found. Specifically, these researchers expressed that the oil acted as an antioxidant that allowed the body to properly build its defense system. Another study in 2014 in Turkey discovered that black seed oil helps people who are receiving radiation treatment, and it can significantly reduce the side effects of radiation. Again, that's what the study was talking about. Now, for those that are wanting to build a really healthy immune system, and also, too, they're finding now that the black seed oil is very, very good at fighting off STDs. Now, I'm not promoting casual sex or running around, but again, I have had emails in the past, guys, what we were just talking about, where I've had people email me and say, hey, my marriage partner, somebody I used to date, somebody I used to be married to, we're divorced now, I found out they were running around on me, I got tested, and now I'm positive for this. I have herpes, I have this, I have that. I've gotten a lot of those emails. And it's bad, you know, that's not an easy conversation to have with a customer. Well, I found now a lot of times that customers are using the black seed oil and the viral graphis along with the D3 that we carry and taking those three together and doing an extremely good job at helping to keep their immune system really, really, really strong and not have any issues with this stuff. So that's just an idea that I wanted to bring up because it gets brought up a lot now in emails. And the black seed oil, the D3, the viral graphis are incredibly good for helping the immune system out.
Well, you're absolutely right. And we're not making any claims for anything, but what we're talking about is basically how it helps the immune system. And folks need to realize that people need to understand something, that your health is basically determined by what you eat and the supplements that you take and the lifestyle choices that you make. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I was drinking 18 cups of coffee a day. My body's adrenals were still very, very, very strong. And I was able to get away with that. But the older I got and I continued in that lifestyle, by the time I was 27 years old, I had gone and had my teeth cleaned. And when I had my teeth cleaned, I ended up getting some blood inside, some bacteria inside of my blood. It attacked my heart. I ended up coming down with pericarditis and almost died from it. And luckily, my immune system was still strong enough and my energy reserves were strong enough that I didn't die. I was in bed for 3 months at the age of 27, almost dead. It really got my attention. And that's one of the reasons that I completely changed my lifestyle is why I don't drink coffee, but very, very rarely, just a couple times a year, I don't do that. But now I use the Purple Sticks, which we have back in stock every single day, because they don't elevate cortisol. That's the most important thing we've got to realize is that life is determined by the quality of the food, your lifestyle, the water you drink in your body. It really is. All of it is. And the exercise that you do. I've just sent an email to Austin a second ago to post a video of me cleaning out my distiller tank and showing you all of the calcium carbonate that's in the tank and how bad this is to get inside of your arteries and inside of your soft tissues. This is what I want you folks to realize. Your health is your most valuable asset. You have to treat it accordingly. I mean, if you had a prize racehorse, let's say you owned Secretary and he was still alive, and he was a Triple Crown winner, and he was a stallion, and you knew he was going to be, you know, you're going to be using him for artificial insemination forever and ever, as long as that poor horse could go with that. And you're thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to take him out the night before he runs the Preakness or the Kentucky Derby, okay, or the Belmont. I'm not going to take the horse out and give him a bunch of beer and get him drunk and feed him a bunch of pizza and give him a bunch of junk food and expect him to perform at peak efficiency. It doesn't work. I mean, you know I'm right, Austin, but people do this all the time. I've got a little sports car that I drive around in, and the other day I got cheap, and I decided, well, I'm going to drive it for a couple hours. I'm going to put some regular gas in it to see what it does. Oh, my goodness. I've never seen anything like it before. It was a toad. It wouldn't even move. It hated it. It hated the regular gas because it was only 87 octane. And I thought to myself, well, that was a lesson that I'm not going to do again. Save a few bucks here and there driving around. Now the car's a toad, and I got to burn a whole tank of fuel out of it. See, that's the same thing as your body. Don't do that to your body. Don't decide that you're going to go sit down and eat a big old GMO hamburger and not have side effects when everything's been soaked down in glyphosate and hormones. It just happens. That's why I like Chipotle so much, because at least they're not using the GMO. So just choose your battles wisely. You don't have to eat GMO. I just had another friend of mine from college email me today. Her daughter has severe celiac disease. So I read her the article, and I sent the article to her that I just read to you guys and that we're going to post on the website. Celiac disease, as far as I'm concerned, is the primary cause of glyphosate poisoning. That's what causes it, as far as I'm concerned, with this huge increase of all of this colitis and celiac disease. We have another friend of ours. His wife has celiac disease and Crohn's disease and intestinal inflammation. And as long as she stays on a clean diet, she's fine. As long as she takes the bentonite, she's fine. As long as she stays on the GHI cleanse, she's fine. When she varies and she decides she doesn't want to do that anymore, it gets worse. I remember years ago I was reading a Bible, and I was in the Bible, and I was reading in the book of Exodus, and we were following along with this guy who was doing a teaching on it, and he was so funny. He said that when Moses came in and told the Pharaoh that he wanted to let God's people go, the Pharaoh kept not wanting to listen. You know, he's like, we call it in the South, we call it crawfishing. It's these little things, they look like little bitty lobsters. You get close to them in the water, they're like an inch, 2 inches long, and they back up, they act all big and bad with their little pinches up in the air, they can't do anything to you, but they start backing up. Those are the crawfish. And so when people, are running backwards, you always start crawfishing. Well, Moses kept telling Pharaoh to let the people go, and Pharaoh kept holding his little pinchers up and crawfishing. Finally, one day, he gets a plague of frogs, and the frogs are in the bed, the frogs are in the linens, the frogs are on the pillows, the frogs are on the people, the frogs on the emperor, frogs on everybody, frogs everywhere. I mean, frogs are just nasty. And finally, the Pharaoh says, well, let me think about this for another night. So he decided to spend another night with the frogs. Guys, you don't have to spend another night with the frogs. You don't have to continually do the things that you've done to get to where you are. You can make those changes. You can make healthier changes. If you don't know where to start, go to our website, to Body by Ted, and get a copy of the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. We only have like 15 of those left. And once they're gone, they're gone. That's the program that we have had now for the past 25 years that has taught literally hundreds of thousands of people how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels, and how to make the healthy changes in their diet. They're available at the bodybyted.com website. If you don't want to do that, at least read the articles that we've written. At least get our cookbooks that we have in the office. And remember, your health is your most valuable asset. Treat yourself like your secretariat and not some old horse that's ready for the doggone glue factory. Don't treat yourself like that, because you're created in God's image. And the Bible says if we destroy God's temple, He'll destroy us. It tells us that. So don't allow yourself to go out and eat a bunch of junk, do a bunch of things to yourself, cook in Teflon pans, cook in aluminum pans, use Teflon deodorant. I mean, go to healthmasters.com and get some of our deodorant that doesn't have any aluminum in it. Some of the best deodorant you've ever tried is our magnesium deodorant. We also have the magnesium oils, the magnesium foot baths. All of this stuff is so important for your health. Get on some multiple vitamins. Do something for your health. Start eating an apple a day, every day. Make sure it's organic. Start eating 2 or 3 organic eggs every single day. Those are super healthy for you. I mean, learn how to eat the things that you know to eat, start with, and learn how to cook and do things better. And also, what's your next story?
Next one I wanted to bring up is the more issues of the Obamacare happening now. This is interesting. Deductibles now, we're at the beginning of the year, so we're starting to see deductibles are soaring now under Obamacare. And what's happening now, this is interesting, hospitals are now starting to attempt to collect medical payments before services are even rendered, according to a new report. And this is crazy now. Everything's going up more and more and more. As we knew years ago, we told everybody when this whole Obamacare fiasco started, we told them exactly what was going to happen. Nobody listened. Exactly what we all said in the underground media, in the Patriot community, what we said was going to happen is exactly what happened. You can't have this. Now, according to CNN Money, and this is interesting, this is CNN, which I only think about half of what they say, and most of what they say is completely under-divulged, so I think what they're saying is even higher. They're saying Americans today are having to foot a much higher percentage of their medical bills to an ever-increasing deductible. 5 years ago, an employer-sponsored policy had an average of around $700 to $800. The exact same policy today now carries a deductible of over $1,200. Similar issues like with the 2014 Kaiser Family Foundation and Health Research Educational Trust report came out, said that most of the deductibles have increased by over 30 to 40%. Since 2006, family plan deductibles have nearly doubled, jumping from an average $1,000 to $1,947. And with the bronze and silver with the Obamacare, it's anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 for a deductible. So what many Obamacare patients are doing now is they're simply dodging the hospital bills. They got to go to the hospital, bills, $5,000, $10,000, they're dodging them, which has happened before, but apparently it's happened in record numbers now. And now in these hospitals, an attempt to basically get at least part of the bill back, they're responding by to bill patients early. The irony of Obamacare is it's turned out to be nothing even close to affordable. Deductible payments are so high in some instances that enrollees are actually having to take out loans to pay for the deductibles on their insurance. It's far more difficult to get that $2,900 now from an individual patient than it is from the Medicare program or from Blue Cross Blue Shield. said Richard Gunnlein, who's the vice president of the Healthcare Financial Management Association. Today's high deductibles are tomorrow's bad debt. I thought that's interesting. Now people are actually having to take out loans and max out credit cards just to pay for yearly deductibles to go to the hospital. Another reason why I keep telling everybody it's so important to keep your health intact and maintain it properly with diet, nutrition, and supplementation and exercise.
I personally dropped my health insurance 5 years ago when this whole stuff and the sabers started rattling with Obama. me and my wife and my three children who never used health insurance because I've already, and I've talked about this before, I'm already covered on my automobiles if I get hurt. I'm already covered under workman's comp at the office if I get hurt. And quite frankly, if they told me that I had to do chemotherapy or radiation or whatever, I wouldn't do it anyhow. And Austin, you know I'm telling the truth about that. I wouldn't do it. I know too much how to fix stuff. And so what's interesting is I just decided that I wasn't going to do it. I was paying almost, I think it was either $1,500 a month. My other policy had gone up to $2,000 a month. I dropped it. Then it started at $800 and it creeped back up to $1,500 a month with a $10,000 deductible. $10,000. And finally, I mean, it's like, you know, $1,500, that's, what's that, $15,000, between $18,000 and $24,000 a year. I haven't paid it now for 5 years, and look at all the money I saved. And we still haven't been sick. We don't get sick. We always stay healthy. I mean, I'd rather spend that $1,500 a month on food, on healthy organic food, and not spend it on health insurance that I never am going to use anyhow. If you take care of your cardiovascular system, you're not going to need bypass surgery. If you take care of your immune system, you're not going to need cancer surgery or cancer treatment. If you take care of your brain and you stay away from heavy metals, you're not going to come down with Alzheimer's disease. I mean, gosh, I'm 60 years old, and my mental acuity is like I'm still 18 years old. I mean, I feel like I could start back at Florida State again in college. I'd go back as a professor, but I could go back there and just enjoy myself as a college professor, you know, and just hanging out with the young kids. I feel that good all of the time. I train 6 days a week. We have exercise videos at healthmasters.com that you can get from us, beginning, intermediate, advanced exercise for men and for women. I won Mr. Tallahassee when I was in Tallahassee back in 1976. And you say, well, were you on steroids? No, I've never touched a steroid, never done any of that. Have no interest in doing it. I got huge. I had a 50-inch chest and a 32-inch waist. Then when I'd cut down, I had like a 47-inch chest and a 30-inch waist with 18-inch arms when I was all muscled up. Never took a steroid. Everybody thought I was on steroids, never did it because I trained super hard. And in the advanced men's exercise program, I tell you how to do that. Austin also works out super hard still. And Harrison still works out, but not as hard as Austin does. He'll be 17 in a few months. But the point is, you've got to maintain your health. And you've got to realize, guys, that your health is your most valuable asset. I mean, it's kind of like it comes as standard equipment at birth. And so you kind of ignore it, unless you have a sick child. That child all of a sudden takes up all of your time. But if a child is healthy, it's standard equipment. You don't really pay much attention to it. It's kind of like a car comes with a windshield. You say, well, my car has a windshield on, I want more money for it. Well, it came with the windshield. It doesn't make it more valuable. Well, that's how you look at health. We take our health as standard equipment. We don't think it's important until we lose it. And I know people that are millionaires that would spend every penny they have in order to stay alive. And then I also know millionaires who would rather die than change their diet, and I've seen them do it before because they were unwilling to make the choices and the changes they need to. Guys, listen to me. Half your body weight in fluid ounces of distilled water every single day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 10 10-ounce glasses, which is 100 ounces of distilled water a day. Take a good multiple vitamin. Stay away from GMOs. Take vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin D, potassium iodide every single day. I take a tablespoon of black seed oil every single night because of what it does for my immune system. And, you know, I take my zinc every day, my CoQ10 every day. I take all of these supplements every single day, and I feel so good. I mean, I feel like I've got more energy than I know what to do with. And I'm not on a purple stick today. I mean, I try to be reasonable with you guys. I try not to go on very many rants. It's just when you people start telling me that Donald Trump's not a Christian after everything that the United States has already, because he said that we need to put a border up, but I'm not going to go there again. So I start talking, I start fussing. But I just don't want people to, I want people to realize that you can have real stable energy and you can feel good with top mental acuity all the days of your life. I'm 60 years old. I feel incredible. I mean, I still have 17.5-inch arms, if you can believe that, guys. I know it's hard to believe, but I do. I taped them the other day. I mean, that's a big arm for anybody, much less a 60-year-old. And again, this is why I tell you guys, it's the consistency over a long period of time that's going to bring you the results. It's not working out for 1 or 2 days and then quitting and then working out 1 or 2 days later, a month later and quitting. That doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. All you do is get really sore for 1 or 2 days worth of working out and then you quit. And, it's a big waste of time. If you can't do anything besides just walk, walk every day for at least a mile. Build up to it. If you can't walk 100 feet, walk 20 feet. Do whatever you have to get out of the bed and start doing stuff. Am I right, Austin? Just do
absolutely
something.
Yeah.
Dr. Thomas Cureton said something. It was a plaque over the water fountain at Jerry and B's Health Club where I used to train back in Winter Haven back in the 70s. And it says, the law of life is movement, rhythmic continuous movement, at least 1 hour a day, all the days of your life. No one ever graduates from the school of physical conditioning. Either you continue progressing or you go downhill. That was over the water fountain of the gym as I was sitting there drinking the tap water, which I should never have had. We didn't bring bottled water with us back then. We didn't know about what they were doing to the water. And I don't even think we had fluoride in the water way back then here in Winter Haven. But the point is, I conditioned my young brain to train, and that's why I've been working out all of these years. And if you're not young, it doesn't make any difference. You can still start. Just, if you don't want to work out with the weights, just do something. Go outside and try to get some sunshine without chemtrails. Good luck. And just walk and do something. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, next one, this one's pretty interesting. The CDC just came out with, you know, their study they always do as far as the leading causes of death and the statistical numbers and all the accounted deaths for. They just did that now for 2013. And what's so funny about it is the firearm homicides that Obama keeps pushing, that's a growing threat to the United States. The Center for Disease Control basically completely spoofed that out of the water now with their numbers on everything. This is so interesting. The total figures for every single type a firearm-related death in 2013 was 33,636. That's everything. 21,175 of those were straight suicides or registered as suicides. Granted, they could have been set up, but I think the majority of them were suicides, meaning that person was pretty serious about taking their own life. They would have used something else if they wouldn't have had a gun available. So that right there already drops it down to, you know, a third. 505 were accidental discharges. And that's, again, what I always talk about, negligent discharges, people not knowing how to carry their firearms properly, not unloading their firearm before they clean it, which that's a very common occurrence, by the way. Always make sure, any time you're handling your firearm, treat it as it's loaded. When you go to disassemble your weapon, check the chamber 3, 4, 5 times. Stick your finger in the barrel. Check the chamber. Make sure there's nothing in there multiple times before doing that. When I say stick your finger in the barrel, I don't mean the bottom end. I mean the chamber end where the bullet inserts. The top amount was 11,208, and those were homicides. 11,000 deaths of all 2013 homicides, and majority of those were gang-related homicides. And what's interesting is 31,000 people died from accidental falls. 48,000 was from poisoning. Alcohol abuse alone, just from straight up alcohol abuse, was 29,000 deaths. Vehicle motor deaths were 33,000. And then it starts breaking down the big ones. Heart disease, 611,000. Alzheimer's, 84,000. Diabetes, 75,000. So guys, understand this. Guns are not the leading cause of death in America. Guns aren't even a tiny, tiny fraction. When you factor in the actual real deaths, would be 11,000 deaths in 1 year from homicide.
Austin, hang on 1 second. Let's back out gang-related deaths. If we back out accidental discharge, suicide, and gang-related deaths, what's the number?
If you back out, I don't have that in front of me right here.
What's the total? Is it 33,000?
Yeah, 33,636.
Okay, and we have how many deaths and suicides?
21,175.
Okay, that's 12,000 left. How many people are being with gangs?
I think right here they're saying it's roughly around 8,200.
Okay, that leaves us with 4,000 accidental discharge, 5. So about 3,000 people are being killed by guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that doesn't even include false flags. Well, sure, I guess it does include false flags.
And see, I'm sure that would be involved with Sandy Hook and stuff like that. Yes.
Yeah, but you got to remember, a lot of this is, you know, domestic, okay?
Yes.
You know, and robberies,
Okay, so here's the thing. You got domestic people killing somebody with a gun, they're killing their spouse, all right? All right, so if the person didn't have the gun, they'd use a baseball bat or a knife.
Yep.
You've got the people that are robbing stores, and they're still criminals. They're going to have criminals. They're going to be robbing stores with guns regardless. Even if they're made illegal, they're going to have guns. You've got the people that are the gang members. They're going to have guns regardless if they're legal or not. So really, you're only looking at a couple thousand people that are murdering each other, probably from spousal things or disputes. I mean, then that's it. And so you have to look at that. And then you got 600,000 from heart disease. Are you kidding me? So the truth of the matter is, gun violence is minimal in the United States. And if you take out Chicago and LA, those two big hubs of gun violence in the United States, we literally drop down to we're like 120th or whatever in gun violence in the world. And that's the truth, guys. Look it up yourself. If you take out gang related stuff in Chicago and the LA, and that's pretty much where all those murders are taking place, and in Washington D.C. Washington D.C. is one of the most dangerous places in the world to live as far as homicides. So you take out Chicago. Oh, by the way, that's right. I just remembered something. Oh, Chicago's Democratic. Washington's Democratic. Oh, and oh my goodness, California's Democratic. Oh, and a lot of those places are. Washington's a total gun free zone unless they've been able to change those laws. Hasn't made any difference. Hasn't made any difference because the gangs still have the guns. So, good point, Austin. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. And one other thing I wanted to bring up, too, on there was it was saying that, because, you know, a lot of times Obama likes to bring in the whole, the children, we have to do this for the children. The total amount of firearm deaths in 2014 for children ages 0 to 15 was 69 deaths. 69.
Probably gang-related violence, drive-by shootings killed them, and also accidental discharges killed them, probably the main ones.
And what's interesting is accidental drowning was 625. Almost 10 times more children died from accidental drowning than from firearms, either from gangs or accidental discharges. So what do we do next? Do we start banning pools? Do we start telling people that have pools they have to fill them in with concrete now?
We do. We've got to ban the pools. We do. You're right. And bathtubs are dangerous. See, people drown in bathtubs. Kids drown in bathtubs all the time. So
lakes
we have
too.
To
that means we need to fill in all the lakes. Any area in the earth now needs to be filled in with concrete.
Well, we need to. You know, and baseball bats have to be taken away too because they have to be regulated. And you can't have any knives. You have to cut your steak with a spoon. Oh, well, that's right. You can't even use a spoon either because you can gouge out an eye with a spoon. So, see, this
chopstick.
And guys, the reason we're saying this is because it's so stupid. Are you kidding me? This whole thing is just absolutely lunacy is what it is. Here's something interesting. A furious Turkey says the U.S. is acting like an enemy, demands Washington's brand Kurds as terrorists. This is from Zero Hedge. The problem for Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar is optics. That is, everything anyone does in Syria has to be justified by an imaginary war on terror. Turkey can't say it's intervening to keep the rebels from being defeated by the Russians. And similarly, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the U.S., France, and everyone else needs to preserve the narrative and pretend as though this all doesn't boil down to the West and to the Sunnis versus the Russians and the Shiites. Well, it turns out that's an impossible task, and so Turkey has resorted to Plan B. A possible false flag bombing in the old blame the Kurds strategy. If the United States is really Turkey's friend and ally, then they should recognize the PYD, a Syrian branch of the PKK, as a terrorist organization. If a friend acts as an enemy, then measures should be taken, and they will not be limited to the airbase. Turkey has significant capabilities. Erdogan, the president, advisor, Sheref Minikok, told Wigan newspaper, so yeah, Turkey just threatened the United States. Turkey threatened the United States. You know what? What are we doing there? I'm not going to start ranting. I'm not doing that today. What are we doing there? I'm telling you why we're there. We're bringing in the opium and the heroin out of Afghanistan through Turkey. Oh, that's why they can threaten us. Oh, because they know they can shut down our flow through Turkey and the CIA won't have their co-op funding and their black ops funding. Oh, that's why little bitty Turkey can threaten the United States. Because we've been completely taken over by a shadow government that depends on drug sales to fund covert and black ops. Oh, well, maybe we need to elect somebody who wants to get rid of all that. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's Donald Trump. Let's pray he doesn't get killed, for heaven's sakes, and he stays safe. Because the truth of the matter is, guys, Cruz's wife is a Goldman Sachs executive. These are one of the big banks that helped money launder all the drugs, along with the Vatican banks. Are you kidding me? What a mess, Austin. What's your next story?
Well, this one, right, I talked about a couple weeks ago, actually last week, how the Tampa police basically are essentially declining any off-duty detail to do security for Beyonce's concert in Tampa here in 2 months. I asked my friend who's a county sheriff, I was out riding with him this weekend on some four-wheelers, and I asked him about it, and he thought it was just the funniest thing in the world. He can't stand Beyonce. So that was pretty much his response to it. But it's interesting now, this whole Black Lives Matter thing, you guys need to understand, if you guys support this, you really need to check yourselves. I know most of our listeners don't, but this is becoming one of the most racist, aggressive groups in current history right now. It's completely out of hand. The Nashville chapter of Black Lives Matter now has accused the Nashville Public Library of white supremacy after the main librarian on staff refused to host a meeting because the Black Lives Matter group said it was banned from any whites were able to attend it. Let me repeat that again. The BLM in Nashville set up a meeting at the Nashville Library, but said only blacks can attend this meeting. No whites are allowed at this meeting at a public library. The facility is not be able to be used by any whites during our meeting. The spokesperson for the library came out and said that doesn't work that way. It's a general meet. It's a general public library. It's taxpayer funded. You can't do that. So the response is they went on mainstream media or Twitter, social media, all this stuff, and said we're changing the venue for the following meeting because due to white supremacy in our local government, this week's BLM general body meeting location has changed. That's how far out these guys are now. So I urge you, if you know anybody that's getting involved in this, don't let them start spreading this rhetoric. This is one of the most racist groups in the United States right now, and I urge you to stay away from them as far as you can if you have any friends, family, or children that are getting wrapped up in this absolute abomination of a group that was supposed to be for something positive. They're an absolute racist nightmare now. I just wanted to throw that out there for anybody.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. You know, if we tell people that Black Lives Matter is a racist organization, that makes us a racist. If we tell people that, you know, that the Turks don't have our best interests in heart, that makes us a racist against Turkey. If we say we don't like the Rothschilds, that makes us an anti-Semite. If we say we don't like the Pope, that makes us an anti-Catholic. If we say we don't like some of the TV evangelists, that makes us a racist against Christians. Are you kidding me, guys? Where did we go wrong? Where did we allow this political correct crap to take hold of the United States of America? When did men stop being men? Oh, that's right, back in 1946 when they started pumping fluoride into the water supply and BPA into the plastics in the 60s and the 70s, in which we are using them as estrogen mimickers to make the people servile and infertile, and the fluoride made them basically did not want to think and basically drop their IQ points. Oh, that's right, that's when all that happened. But look at this, guys. Come on, guys. Really? Really? You can't say anything, or you're an anti-everything? Really? I had somebody the other day told me that Chuck Baldwin was an anti-Semite and Paul Craig Roberts was an anti-Semite. And he said, listen, all these just people that are just mainstream, you know, alternative talk, they're all anti-Semites. And I'm like, no, they're not. I said, if they point out something that a Jewish folk has done or a Jewish organization has done, that's not making them an anti-Semite. This just means they pointed out what they did. It's not a big deal. If I say that the Rothschild banking cartel shouldn't have control of the money supply of the world, that's making me an anti-Semite. It doesn't. So, guys, stop doing that. Don't allow yourself to get caught up into that political correct narrative. That's not what this is about. This is how the United States has got into this ditch that it's gotten into, is that we've allowed people to say that kind of stuff, and everybody shuts up and quits talking. If you want to hear this show again, immediately after the show, it'll be replayed. The phone number will be 641-552-5310. This is a 24-hour play line. We started this last week, and we've had a huge results with that. I mean, people are listening to the show everywhere, all over the time, all over the night. Put it in your telephone. And so if you missed the live broadcast, you can hear it anytime you want. 641-552-5310. And remember, the show today has been brought to you by HealthMasters.com. Have the highest quality supplements in the world, finest water distillation systems in the world. Been in business for 36 years now, and we've been here a long, long time and helped a lot of people. So we thank you for your support. There's a free newsletter you can sign up for. We appreciate all of you, and we thank you for all of the stuff that you do for us all of the time and all these wonderful emails that you send us. Let me read you this one. This is another one. Here's another interesting. 10 dead. Troops have been deployed. Water rationed as Indians riot. We are here to die. Zero heads. Violent protests by the rural castes, this is in India, you know, in Asia, have left 10 dead and 150 injured in Haryana, India, where the government has sent 4,000 troops and 5,000 paramilitaries with shoot-on-site orders. The week-long riots reflect frustration with the lack of employment and university opportunities. AFP writes, Indian reserves placed for lower caste in measures intended to bring victims of the country's worst discrimination into the mainstream. But the policy causes resentment among other communities who say it freezes them out. The 10 people killed over this past week were shot by police who are attempting to bring the situation under control. We will keep going until the government bows to our pressure. I mean, you know, guys, they have caste systems in India where if you're born into a certain caste, you can't come out of it. This is what the Rothschilds want for all of us. This is what the globalists and the Rockefellers and all of these people and the bankers and the Jesuits, this is what they want for all of us. They want all of us to be back into a feudal system in which they control everything. They control your food. They control your water. They control your housing. That's what Agenda 21 is all about. They want you to be an animal. They're training you to be an animal with their operating classical conditioning through Leipzig, through Skinner. All of this stuff is what they're doing to all of us. They've been doing it for well over 100 years now. Guys, this is not God's will for us. We've been called to something much, much bigger, much, much greater than this. Stand in the aggregate with me. Stand in the aggregate with the other patriots that are on the radio that are telling people the truth. Make sure if you like this show, you give people my phone number. They can listen to the show, and they can become listeners of the Ted Brower Show with Austin Brower. We appreciate you guys so much. Awesome. What's your next story?
Next one that I did want to bring up, if we got enough time on it.
But we can save it tomorrow if you'd like. Let's just save it for tomorrow. I've got another 30 stories we haven't even covered. But by the way,
I got a bunch of them too.
Russia increases gold reserves by 700,000 ounces in January. 700,000 ounces of gold to 21.77 tons to its reserve in January 2016. Guys, Russia's preparing to become part of the next reserve currency of the planet with China and with India and with South Africa. And this is what's going to happen. And guys, listen to me. Make sure you don't keep all your money in the bank. Make sure you keep some in metals. You go to Renaissance Precious Metals with Steve Quayle. Support him. He's a good man of God. I like Steve. I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. If you got any questions, give us a call up. And you guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless.